Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also Hello. From thedraftnetwork.com. This is the first ever TDN,
yes.
The Draft Network,
yeah.
Super Show, with all four of us in the same place, because sitting to my right, Joe Marino, diagonally across from me, Kyle Krabs.
Hey, yo, baby girl.
Wow. That is exactly how I would have envisioned this first live four-person TDN Super Show going on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. Gentlemen, it's been a great week at the Shrine Week game. We've had a lot to break down. We've had a lot to talk about and discuss. We've done our own podcast kind of discussing those things, obviously going back and forth. But before we move to the Senior Bowl, just quickly on the Shrine game, what is your favorite thing that you've taken away from this week? I know some of you have written about those things. We've probably talked about them on the podcast already. Should be very simple. But Trevor, we'll start with you. What is your biggest takeaway from Shrine Game?
You think player or...
Player, yeah, probably player.
I just think it's fun to watch these guys get NFL coaching. Skyler Fulham's one of the coaches there. He's a very energetic coach for the Buccaneers. He was one of the coaches. I've seen plenty of other guys, whoever the O-lineman coach, I think he's for the Washington Redskins, who was yelling at the West guys all week. That was a lot of fun. And I think that's the biggest takeaway that I have from the Shrine Game every year, is that this is the, and it's the same thing with the Senior Bowl. It's kind of the same effect, is that these guys are really getting a different kind of, and you hope, an elevated style of coaching all week long. You get to see how quickly guys adapt to coaching, how quickly they get chemistry with their teammates, and that's really those, I think, X factor and tangible things about, judging these prospects outside of, the touchdowns or the highlight plays that we might get on film. Those are kind of the things that I look for. So it's just always interesting. I think just overall getting to see them that work with this NFL coaching staff is probably what I would say.
Kyle, your biggest takeaway from the week?
Well, I thought I would have been disappointed by the fact that we just need to mail it in on this entire quarterback group. You know, some people like Easton Stick coming in. Some people like Brett Rippon coming in. Some people like Jordan Tamu. John's going to get offended for me for saying this. None of those guys are guys that really move the needle, unless you're talking round 5, 6, 7 at an optimistic perspective. But at the same time, I wasn't disappointed because there's a lot of defensive line talent that's here on both of these rosters. I mean, guys like Kansas's Daniel Wise and Texas A&M De La Mack, who got the call up to the Senior Bowl, which I'm sure John will find an excuse to talk about here in just a couple minutes.
Hopefully.
He's smiling all over there.
Hopefully.
There was a lot of talented players that play on the line, and this is off the heels of last year having several guys from the defensive line in the Shrine Game as alumni, and Deidrin Sanat being one of those guys. So finding talent elsewhere, even if it wasn't where I was expecting to find it, was a really nice surprise for me in this year's group.
Joe, what do you think?
You know, I wanted to go with what Trevor had said, but I had to go last on this one, so I'm going to have to give you another angle here. To me, it's about getting a chance to see, and Kyle is continuing with sound effects while I talk. This has been a tradition all week long, listened to the Draft Dudes podcast, and here we are.
Trevor and I actually said a small prayer for you on our last podcast.
Thank you. It's been difficult.
We didn't.
Okay, so what I want to practice, you get a chance to evaluate practice habits and intensity, and I think that's different. You know, we watch a lot of tape, we read a lot of different things, we hear a lot of different things, but we get a chance at the Shrine Game to get eyes for ourselves on people's habits and tendencies and what their energy level is like in a practice setting, and how, which guys go through the motions and which guys love it, which ones have that extra bounce in their step. And so when you kind of couple the ability to see how they take coaching and adapt mixed with their practice habits, and when they have to do a drill, or sometimes at the end of practices, offense wins or defense wins, and the other half of the ball has to do push-ups or something, how guys attack those types of things. And it's an important layer, an important piece of the process that we only get small glimpses of. And I think in this scenario where you have guys in arguably the biggest practices of their lives, mm-hmm. what their attitude and energy like matters a lot, and we get a chance to see that at Shrine Week.
You and I both mentioned that, and I think it was both pretty positive on both sides. It's not like we were seeing anybody not happy with it.
Right, yeah.
Did you have anybody in mind that you liked?
Yeah,
either?
That Michigan offensive tackle.
You think you didn't just like
Bashel Beatty?
Bashel Beatty.
Just want to show everyone I can say hard.
Well, look, there. I feel like he was sluggish. He was lacking behind. Every drill, he was last. When they had to do push-ups, he did like 2 push-ups, got on his knees, did 3 more. I mean, I'm like, what are you doing? You're getting putting this out here in front of the whole world to see on day one of Shrine practice?
Well, nothing gets by.
I'm a little things guy. I'm a little things guy. So
taking that push-up.
Yeah, when you can't stay down there and get 10 reps out and you need pauses every 3 on day one of Shrine practice, come on now. I mean, need it.
Kyle has that training background, and you saw some of those guys doing push-ups.
I don't want to name names, but there were some very, very sorry. I know everybody looked at me like they were expecting. He's not going to name names, but he's totally going to throw it out there.
I would love
Didn't do it. Put the brakes on, air brakes on myself.
No problem critiquing my skull crusher form earlier today.
I was helping you out.
I was just helping you out.
I thought it was pretty good. That's hard exercise. All right, let's before we transition to the Senior Bowl, I guess I should say great points by everybody here, but I would also say, to me, it just kind of reinforced, too, that the wide receiver class is just loaded. I mean, ordinarily, in an ordinary year, none of us would be surprised to see a guy like Terry Godwin or a guy like Ryan Davis or a guy like DeMarcus Lodge or a guy like Keyshawn Johnson or even Cody Thompson from Toledo. I thought all 5 of those guys were great this week. Jamal Custis stood out at different times. Sean Poindexter stood out at different times. I don't even think all those guys are necessarily going to make an NFL roster, but it just shows there's so much wide receiver talent in this class. We've already talked about it for next year's class. I just think it's going to continue to be an overwhelming theme of the next couple draft classes and really of the league at some point, is that we're going to have some good wide receivers. They're going to have a hard time keeping jobs in the league just because there's so much young talent entering the NFL. So I think the wide receiver group at the Shrine game has stood out in a big way. Let's transition to the Senior Bowl. We're going to go North roster, and then we're going to talk South roster. First, North roster, we're going to talk about a prospect from this North roster you've really been looking forward to seeing. Joe, we're going to start with you. From this North roster, as you look through it, is there a player that you have in mind that you say, you know, maybe it's somebody you've scouted for a while now and you can't wait to see him in person, or somebody you haven't seen enough of that you're just really excited to get a good look at this week? Who is it on the North roster that really moves the needle for
you? Man, it's tough to pick just one, and I'm not going to double dip. That's kind of what I like to do a lot of times in these scenarios, but I'm going to limit it to just one. And the guy that really pops for me is Penn State cornerback Amani Oruarie. I think I said that right, Kyle. Did I check the box there, Krev?
You did all right.
All right, Amani O from this point forward. I tried it once. I think he's got a chance to be a top 3 corner in this class when we look back at this thing and see where these guys are all drafted. And, you know, talk about a big stage for him where he's going to be isolated in one-on-ones and obviously get a chance to really illustrate his skill set. I love this guy's body control. I mean, he's a bigger corner. I think he's listed like 6'1", a little over 200. And the way that he controls his body, the way that he transitions, the way that he's able to be firm at the catch point and position himself to compete and make plays on the ball, man, I like that a ton. I think he's super smart. His coverage spacing is really, really nice. He's got that length. He can win in press. I just think there's a lot of versatility to his skill set. And maybe if I have a slight question with him, it might be just, does he have that true recovery speed? Can he really carry routes vertically down the field? And I'm ready to learn firsthand this week because he's going to be tested in that area. And if he really checks that box, man, I'm talking about a top 3 corner in this class when it's all said and done.
Kyle, who do you got? Who stands out to you the most that you can't wait to watch this week?
Yeah, I got to go with Drew Locke. You know, what would a Senior Bowl show be without talking about some quarterbacks? And Joe keeps sitting over here telling me Drew Locke's going to be a top 15 pick and lock it in, and pun intended, I suppose. I don't know. Just kind of stumbled upon that one. Listen, Drew has the arm talent, right? He's always had the arm talent. That's never really been Drew's problem. But I'm really fascinated to see getting Drew in this setting, which should be catered for him to be successful. Because you think about his strengths and weaknesses on film, and his biggest issues arise when he has to deal with pressure.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of phantom pressure, a lot of floating things off the back foot for no reason whatsoever. There's no reason to be nervous about those sorts of things in this environment. How good is the arm? I need to see how good the arm is, because just last year we saw a guy who had a lot of struggles with the mental side of the game, but had an elite arm, and it was enough for teams to buy in on him, and the Buffalo Bills drafted him in the top 10 overall. So he has those tools, I think, but I'm really excited to see that arm, remembering what Josh Allen's looked like last year, and see, is this the type of arm that's really going to sell a team, even with some of the concerns between the ears?
Yeah, absolutely good point. Trevor, who stands out for you in the North roster as a guy you can't wait to watch?
I'm going to go a little outside the box of this because...
You should.
You know, normally when you ask a question like this, it's probably, hey, name somebody who you think is the most talented of the group. But if you ask me from this North side, a guy that I'm the most looking forward to, it's actually Emmanuel Hall. I think the wide receiver from Missouri, because I watched him early on and I had a lot of concerns with him. I didn't know what to think. I thought his hands were super inconsistent going into the season, even in the early part of the season. And as things went on, I have seen so many people talk up Emmanuel Hall. Like, a lot of his stuff has, you know, the inconsistencies from his game are gone. The vertical threat that he's been is just all there. Like, it's completely consistent there now. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing him at the Senior Bowl just because I want to see if this updated version of Emmanuel Hall is what really everybody kind of has been saying that he's been over the last month. I know a lot of people have been big fans of him lately, and I had my doubts early on, so I guess it's time for me to perhaps get an updated version of Emmanuel Hall, or maybe even just reaffirm that maybe people are a little bit higher on him than they should be. So in terms of that's my little outside the box way of saying I'm excited to see this guy because I want to see if he's real or fake with the evaluations that I'm hearing.
Yeah, he's been an interesting prospect to evaluate, no doubt about that. There will be some polarizing opinions on him, I think. For me, the top guy is Nasir Adderley from Delaware, the safety. You know, not only do I like him a lot, and I think he's my top guy here now that Josh Allen's dropped out of the event. But I think also it's, for small school guys, for me, it's so important. Get a look at him up close. How do they match up speed-wise with some of the bigger school guys? You know, can they compare athletically the way you think they can when you watch them on tape? How do their traits stand out amidst a group like this? And I just want to see him kind of establish or reaffirm kind of what I've been waiting to see from him. And I think, honestly, he could be a top safety in this class, honestly. Yeah. And I really think that's on the table for him. And that ascension starts kind of, I think, with the Senior Bowl and then continues on with the combine and pro days and stuff like that. But yeah, I know he's going to impress teams in interviews. Great guy. Coaches rave about him. I think all that stuff's going to be in his corner. But how does he do on the field? I think that's what I can't wait to see from Nasir Adderley. Okay, Joe, we're going to go to you for a sleeper from this Senior Bowl North roster that you think, maybe it's a guy that is flown under the radar, maybe a guy that you feel like isn't getting enough national attention or isn't getting enough attention amongst some of the big draft pundits just yet. Who's that guy for you on the North roster?
All right, so I think this draft class took a big hit in terms of the interior offensive line when Tyler Biadasz from Wisconsin went back to school and Kyle Krabs is... got his fingers on his eyes or something. I don't know. He knows what I'm about to say, and he's damn right I'm going to say it. Garrett Bradbury, interior offensive lineman from NC State. Get ready for it, folks, because he's going to make a run to be the top interior offensive line in this class. Just wait till you see this guy move. I think I did 6 NC State games over the last 2 years getting eyes on Mr. Bradbury, and you want to talk about rare, and I mean rare lateral mobility. His ability to be an offensive center and reach 3 techniques and hook him and pin him inside and create lanes and outside and inside zone is unbelievable. He's a great vertical blocker, and Kyle's looking at me, telling me that he's got a soft anchor. And I'm telling you, folks, this guy knows how to find leverage points and expose people and put them on their back. He's got the play strength I'm looking for. He's a converted tight end, just moved to the position a couple years ago. There's a ton of upside here, and this is going to be a player that when it's all said and done after the week, we're going to talk about him as potentially the best interior offensive lineman in the class. Go ahead and record that blurb because we're going to refer to it in years to come.
Joe, so you're telling me you think that Garrett Bradbury is going to be potentially the number one rated interior offensive lineman?
When we look back on this class, we're going to say, wow, Garrett Bradbury is a stud. He gave a
not
team...
so fast, my friend. Oh. Wisconsin's Michael Dieter is going to have something to say about right, this, buddy. Okay? He's played inside, outside, offensive tackle, center, guard.
He
plays
tight
all
end?
Over the place.
Well, okay.
He does not. But you know what? He's a guy that's going to be much better on the interior than when he was pressed to play left tackle in 2016 for the Badgers. They moved him back to left guard, and guess what? He's had as good a season as anybody. He's played more than 10 games at every spot on the offensive line. Think about that. That versatility, that ability to be your flex guy, you can, if you have an injury in your offensive line, you don't have to make two spots worse. Take Michael Dieter. You can put him anywhere you need him. Okay? Michael Dieter is a people mover. He's very fluid. The only reason he's not a left tackle is because he probably has 32.5-inch arms. And that's going to put teams off. And you see it on film. But he's got smooth feet. He's 310-plus pounds. And he can move. So I'll take the guy who's got the girth. You can't teach girth, Joe Marino.
Wow. True.
Scientists
approve. Very true.
Scientists approve.
Was that your pick for the sleeper? Or
that was my pick for the sleeper.
I didn't know that was just a rebuttal. Great rebuttal, too. Good pick for the sleeper. Well done, everybody here. Trevor, are you going to keep it in the trenches with the big old hogs, or are you going in another direction? I know you love to talk offensive lines. So.
No, I'm going skill position again. Terry McLaurin is my guy from Ohio State. Averaged 20 yards a catch this season. Had 11 touchdowns, really kind of came on. I know he didn't have over 1,000 yards. I know that Paris Campbell is the guy that you were trying to get for the Senior Bowl, but from what I have heard, the NFL really has their eye on Terry McLaurin, and I think that he has gone under the radar as a guy, especially in this Senior Bowl group with a good wide receiver class. Might not be set yet. We'll kind of see, but he's a guy who I think he's going to come to the forefront. He's gonna show out. And, you know, when we've got these quarterbacks who hit the Senior Bowl, there's going to come times where the coaches are just going to say, hey, let it loose here. We want to see what you've got. Don't be afraid to push it down the field. And when they do, I've got a feeling that Terry McLaurin from Ohio State is going to be one of those guys on the receiving end. And he's going to even benefit from some guys like a Drew Locke trying to unleash it and make a name for himself and something like that. And so I've just kind of heard good things about him and good things about what the NFL thinks about him. And so he's my kind of guy to watch, my little sleeper there for the North.
Yeah, it's a good choice. I'm going to go with another wide receiver, Jacoby Myers from NC State.
That is also a good choice.
I know Joe's a fan of him. Trevor, you're a fan of him. I don't think Kyle's a fan of him as well. You don't see ball skills like this from a converted quarterback very often. Just a real natural ability to go up and pluck the ball, to work outside his frame, smooth adjustments, strong hands. In fact, he's kind of a funny convert because I don't think he's an unbelievable athlete. And you'd think normally you move him from quarterback, like it's because he has this great athleticism, but the ball skills are the part that needs developed. He's actually kind of a natural wide receiver, but there really isn't a whole – I don't know that there's a ton of upside with him, but he played in the slot heavily for NC State, a big body, great frame, really. And I think he really has that ability to make those tough catches and go up and get the football that not a lot of converted quarterbacks are going to have that. Not a lot of wide receivers have that. So I think that's one of the things I really like about Jacoby Myers, that versatility. Not many people talking about him in this wide receiver class yet, but he was an invite as a declaree who was a redshirt junior, I believe, who graduated already. So as soon as he declared, basically, Jim and Nagy in the Senior Bowl sent out the invitation to him, and he said yes. And so I think we're going to be happy to see him in Mobile. I think he's really going to stand out. So flip on over to the South team. And Trevor, we're going to bounce it back to you this time and go move in that direction. But from the South team, the best player, or maybe just a guy you can't wait to see, you're excited to see perform on this stage and in this environment for the South team.
I think it's I'm going outside the box again with this answer, and I'm saying Jalen Ferguson. When you lead the NCAA in sacks, in a category as important as sacks, even though you're playing at La Tech and you're playing against, you know, not so great opponents, I don't care, man. You've gotten to the quarterback that many times in your career. That is crazy. I believe it was Terrell Suggs who held the record before Jalen Ferguson beat him for it this year. And so I'm just looking forward to him going up against, you know, what you hope are better offensive linemen up to competition before he gets to the NFL. So we really have a much better idea of, hey, what can this sack master really do outside of the normal competition that he has faced while being at Louisiana Tech, because we know there's more concentrated talent at higher conference levels and division levels in the NCAA, and we just really didn't get to see Ferguson against all of that too consistently. So now we get a full week of him going up against what I hope is going to be improved offensive line play as opposed to what we've seen in a lot of his tape. And I did a five-play prospect of him, and there are times where I kind of watch him and I go, okay, you know, he's not really going to be able to do what he's doing here all the time in the NFL. But then there are other times where I think that he flips it on and it's like, okay, this guy's got real ability here. I just didn't see that consistently enough. Really, he didn't even need to be that consistent to end up breaking the sack record while he was there. And so that's the guy that I'm looking forward to the most, because he is a dude who, I know we talk about this on, in articles when we say, like, hey, most to gain, most to prove, things like that. Yeah. He's definitely a guy who I think has the most to prove when, because if he really shows out and shows some traits this week, he's got the stats to back it up. And then all of a sudden you start talking about a serious prospect. You're considering in the top 50 if he shows some traits.
Cal, who do you got?
Listen, Trevor looks pretty cozy outside the box here, so I'm going to go join him and talk about Dax Raymond, tight end from Utah State. This kid can move. You know, this is another one of these quote-unquote new-age tight ends who can generate and create yardage for himself after the catch. Utah State used him in some screen game, and he's a really challenging person to tackle, or at least he was on film at Utah State for his ability after the catch. 250 pounds listed, 6'5", and he moves really well for that size and stature. So this is one of those players for me that when I saw him get the invite, I got really excited because he didn't put up loads of production at Utah State, but they had a successful season this past season. And he's certainly flashed on film with what he's able to do in catching the ball. So I want to see versus higher profile competition, much like Nasir Adderley on the North squad is somebody who stands out that we're looking forward to see how he handles the quote-unquote speed of those around him and the talent level. I want to see how Dax Raymond is able to separate in a lot of these one-on-ones in these situations where he's going to be forced to really show some crispness at the top of his route or physicality at the top of his routes to bump guys off him.
Joe, who's the guy that stands out for you?
I'm really excited to see North Dakota State running back Bruce Anderson. He's a fun player, guys. I'm not sure who's got a chance to see him on film, but when he got the call up, I made it a priority to watch him. He's 5'11", 210, so he's got a good frame to him, but I'm really impressed with his ability to make dynamic cuts and really get lateral width and how he is able to, you know, execute jump cuts and make people miss in space. And I think that he's just one of those guys that blends some power components with those elusive traits, which is kind of rare, and I love that about him. And so one thing about him that you'll notice is that he doesn't have a ton of receiving production, but my goodness, when he had chances to make plays in the football, he did so. There was a lot of instances where he was challenged with lining up in the slot and making a play on a football down the field, and he looks really, really natural doing it. And so I got power. I've got elusive traits. I've got the ability to catch a football. And this is a guy that, you know, he checks a lot of boxes. And we talk about the NFL and how they want to have a stable of backs with multifaceted skill sets that complement each other. I mean, I think this is a guy that can do a lot of different things. And I think there's some development needed with how he sees the field a little bit and makes decisions with the football. But I think right off the bat, his elusive traits can help him out as he develops, and that receiving ability and getting him the ball in space can make him a really dynamic player in the NFL.
My guy is Sheldrick Redwine from Miami.
And ooh.
Here's why this is interesting, because
my guy.
I don't know that anybody here would have expected him to play cornerback.
Yeah.
I looked it up. He did play cornerback when he first got to Miami. So that aspect of his evaluation, I guess, is in place. He played it in high school, but there's not a lot of tape there. There's not a lot of starts there. There's not a lot of production there. He played safety the last 2 years. That's where kind of he got onto the national radar. I've watched him, and I've never seen him as a cornerback type of player. And I know, talking to you guys, you've never really seen him as a cornerback type of player either. So this is interesting. The Senior Bowl doesn't even have that many corners. There's only three other corners on this on the North roster. So you've are on the South roster. So you've got a situation now where Redwine's, not only is he going to play corner, he's probably going to play corner all week. Like, he's not going to have any other option, I don't think, unless they rotate other safeties in there. So normally we see these safety guys get a couple reps at corner, but most of them are playing safety. His stock looks like it's going to, coming out of the Senior Bowl, at least, looks like it's going to ride on how well he plays cornerback. And I think it could go a long way toward his draft stock in what is a pretty bad cornerback class. And I think that if he can show that he has the athleticism to play there and the fluidity and some of the technique, that's going to bode really, really well for him by the time April's draft rolls around. So he's the guy that I'm definitely looking to watch this week and can't wait to kind of get my eyes on him in a new position. Joe, or Trevor, we'll go back to you for sleeper from the South roster. Who is the guy that's flying under the radar right now that you can't wait for everybody to start talking about next week?
I'm going to stick with the cornerback position group. You know who I'm saying? I'm saying Rock Ya Sin from Temple.
I knew it was coming.
This guy, he's a really interesting prospect because he doesn't have a ton of time being a corner. He's super raw in basically everything in the way that he plays the position. Came on better this season. He's got the length. I think he's got the build. He's got the measurables that you would want from a corner, especially to be a press man and a man coverage based corner. And, you know, we know where the NFL is going. It just seems like the better offenses get in the NFL, the more defenses have to just bet on being aggressive. So in order to do that, you got to get added pressure, and you got to be able to play man coverage on the defensive end, especially with your corners. And so a guy like Rocky Sin has a chance to make some serious money this week if he can show more polish in his press technique, having the ability to lock some of these wide receivers up, be one of those island corners with his length and his athleticism. But like I said, still seems very raw to the position, at least the last time that I was popping in his tape. I do have to finish his evaluation, but there are also a lot of things that I like, a lot of flashes that I saw of him could potentially being a complete corner and the type of corner, the style of corner that the NFL is really yearning for more and more. And so for that, I think that he has a ton of potential money to make this weekend. He is my sleeper there because I know a lot of people aren't talking about him. And like you said, man, they're just thin on corners, so he is going to get plenty of chances there on the outside to make all the money that he needs to make this weekend. So he's definitely my guy that I'm watching going forward.
Kyle, who do you got?
You know what else? What other position group is thin on this year? Offensive tackles. And for that reason, I'm looking at Anthony Nelson, the redshirt junior declaree from Iowa, going against the likes of Dennis Daly, Ole Udo, who thankfully they abbreviated his first name here. Yeah, we saw him this week at Elon. Andre Dillard and Titus Howard. Those are the four offensive tackles on the roster for the Senior Bowl. And I think about what Anthony Nelson does well. And Anthony Nelson is a power player. His pass rush success typically comes when he's able to soften angles with his physicality, with his hands, with his length. Against this group of offensive tackles, I think he will find success doing that in the one-on-one situations. He's going to put these tackles on their heels if he's getting off the line of scrimmage and landing those hand strikes, which I don't see any reason why he wouldn't. This is a player I liked on tape anyway. John, you and I talked about his strengths and weaknesses, Anthony Nelson, and the bizarro games against Wisconsin, right, where all of a sudden he's turning these tight corners. And, you know, physically, he does have a little bit of that component to him, even if that's not necessarily his strength. So I think this will be a really good opportunity for him to, A, show out really well in the one-on-ones, and, B, potentially show some of that change of direction skills that we're not quite sold that he does or doesn't have.
Joe, who's your guy?
You know, I like this wide receiver class as a whole. It's funny because at the start of the process, there are a lot of people down on this group. And more we look at it, the more and more we say, wow, there's a lot of guys that can play. And we're elevating prospects left and right. A lot of these juniors coming out have really changed the dynamics of the class. But there's this dude at South Carolina named Deebo Samuel. And he is a playmaking stud. And I'm ready for that buzz to be reignited here with the strong week of the Senior Bowl. I think this is a great context, a great event for him to really turn some heads and bring some enthusiasm back to his draft stock. I think, you know, that marginal quarterback play from Jake Bentley at USC hurt his production a little bit, and then he's had some injuries, but, you know, he's should be healthy going into this event, and his ability to uncover, you know, he's got really quick feet. He knows how to set up his route breaks, and really he breaks through contact really well and gets into space, and he provides a good target, and I like the way he can go up and get the ball in the air for a guy that's built like him, kind of like a Golden Tate style type receiver. And so, you know, I think that there's a lot of quickness to this player, a lot of good smoothness in and out of his breaks. And so I think that he's going to, you know, really thrive on, like what Trevor had mentioned and you as well, about, you know, we kind of have a thin cornerback group particularly here. And so 1v1s is going to be an opportunity for Deebo to eat, and I expect him to have a great week.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Deebo as well. But, man, as I look at this group, I think about the offensive tackle class that Kyle just slandered, and he's right there. It's not necessarily the best group on paper, but I think there's a little something to Dennis Daly from South Carolina. No, I think he's an elite prospect, no, but I think right now no one's talking about him at all, and I think he's better than some of the tackle names that you're hearing mentioned as potential even first-round guys in some cases. So I think he's going to have a solid week. I don't know that he's going to lock down everybody and establish himself as a first-round presence, but I don't think you're going to see him. You know, we've all been to the Senior Bowl many years. We know life can be really rough for some of the offensive tackles here. One-on-ones are slanted toward defensive players. I'm sure he'll lose some of those, but I do think there's some traits there to get excited about with Dennis Daly. I think he's does a really good job out of his stance, did a really nice tape against Cleveland Farrell this past year. So I think that he's a good football player. I think he should get more love as a top 100 prospect, and I'm hoping that he proves that this week at the Senior Bowl. So there you have it. There's our big Senior Bowl takeaways, or previews of what's going to happen, or we hope happens at least next week, the players that are really on our radar that we can't wait to get our eyes on. Next week, we'll have all kinds of great content coming over at the Draft Network Senior Bowl. We'll have a live show coming after Senior Bowl practices. That'll be a ton of fun. We'll have practice recaps and wrap-ups as we always do. There's going to be tons of content pouring out, and of course, the podcast as well, Locked On NFL Draft and Draft Dudes podcast. So make sure you're subscribed to both. Tell all your friends and family. And until next time, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.